As we begin, let's give a round of applause to Mr. Israel Smith for his drash today.
Shabbat Shalom. You feeling better? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Baruch Hashem. Can we go to the Lord in prayer? Thank you, Father. Thank you. You are faithful, and you are holy and just. You are love, and you've given yourself to us. For your own name's sake, you redeemed us from your own wrath, and from the sin that we committed. Thank you for giving us your life. We come before you for mercy, for strength, for wisdom and direction. Hear us as we call unto you. Thank you that you are pleased to hear us when we call, and that your eyes search to and fro throughout all the earth to see if there is anyone who seeks God, who understands, and draws near to you. I ask that your word will go forth in power, transform our hearts, and make us more like our Master, Yeshua. Convict us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Return us to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Be gracious unto us for your own name. In Yeshua's name, amen. Thank you, Father. God gave Abraham no inheritance in the land in which he brought him, not even enough to set his foot on. But even when Abraham had no child, the Lord promised to give it to him for a possession and to his descendants after him. Patiently, the Lord endured the iniquity of the nations to be dispossessed by those he would call out of bondage and seat them as judges in the earth. Four generations would pass until their iniquity would be required of them, as God spoke to Abraham, Genesis 15:16. And when he had destroyed the nations, seven of them in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. He established his inheritance to his people, Israel. 12 leaders of his inheritance were commissioned to distribute the land with equity. One leader from each tribe was responsible for their brethren's welfare. The children of Israel rejoiced, as it is written in the Psalms, for he remembered his holy promise, and Abraham his servant. He brought out his people with joy, his chosen ones with gladness. He gave them the lands of the Gentiles, and they inherited the labor of the nations, and they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise the Lord. That's from Psalm 105, 42 through 45. Do not defile yourself with any of these things, said the Lord, for the land is defiled. Therefore, I visit the land to punish its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. But Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. And Hebrews 6 says, for it is impossible for those who once were enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." There, a covenant was made in the refuge city of Shechem with Joshua and the people to serve the Lord only. "Behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard the words which the Lord has spoken to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God." So he let the people depart, each to his own inheritance. That generation passed, and soon another rose in their place who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for their fathers. This was a generation which cursed its father and did not bless its mother, a generation that was pure in its own eyes, yet was not washed from its filthiness, as it also says in the Psalms. They did not destroy the peoples concerning whom the Lord had commanded them, but they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus they were defiled by their own works and played the harlot by their own deeds. As Jeremiah was pleading and weeping for the remnant of Israel living in the promised land to repent, Ezekiel was greatly astonished at the glory of the Almighty in a foreign land by the river Kabar, at a flowing channel known as Length of Time. The Lord would lay out the judgment of his people, the nations, as well as his redemption plan, as Moses, Samuel, Elijah, and Jeremiah were sent, so Ezekiel was sent to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me, as God said. "They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day, for they are impudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say, 'Thus says the Lord God.' As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them." Therefore, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against his people, so that he abhorred his own inheritance. And he gave them into the land of the hand of the Gentiles, and those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times he delivered them, but they rebelled in their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Psalm 104, 40 through 43. A watchman, Ezekiel was bound to do the will of him who sent him, making his life and words difficult. No, a scandal. It was a scandal before the people. It was an insurrection against the king and his land and the nation of Israel. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord? And like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Forewarnings of siege and destruction were clearly played out by the man of God. Surely the Lord would not allow this nation to destroy his everlasting inheritance, thought the captives of Babylon and those remaining in Israel. And God said to Jeremiah, "Behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come up to help you, will return to Egypt, to their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come back and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have toward your people. O visit me with your salvation, that I may see the benefit of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory in your inheritance. The psalmist says, the Lord spoke to Ezekiel, son of man, describe the temple to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities. And let them measure the pattern, and if they are ashamed at all that they have done, make known to them the design of the temple and its arrangements, its exits and its entrances, its entire design and all its ordinances, all its forms and its laws. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyes test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. I overthrew some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were like a firebrand plucked from the burning. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel, says Amos. Ezekiel offered to them the description of the temple, of his restoration for his people. And as Jeremiah said, no longer will you say, as the Lord who brought us up out of Egypt, but as the Lord who brought us out from the lands, from the farthest parts of the earth. So he brought us here. But if they are not ashamed of their deeds, the converse is he would not show them its designs. And even as Rev Scholl says, for even if I made you sorry with my letter, I did not regret it. Though I did regret it, for I perceived that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Now I rejoice that I made you sorry. Not that I made you sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. What is the vindication he's speaking of? What was the vindication of the children of Israel in the Old Testament and to the Corinthians in the New? It's God. It's his name. It's his character. It's who he is. He's called us to be holy, as Paul said, or Paul, Phil. As Phil said a few weeks ago, God has called us to be holy, for he is holy. He's a jealous God. The Lord then proceeds to show Ezekiel the holy district, the land of the prince, and he shows him many glories of the temple and its rules and dimensions. A glorious new temple where righteousness, truth, and justice would be administered. A new temple where the prince would provide sacrifices for the people. And yet, every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins, Hebrews 10. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Thus, a new and eternal covenant must be made with the blood of the Creator himself. I'm going to turn to Ezekiel 14 very quickly. The Lord says to Ezekiel, he'll answer the children of Israel who come to him because they were coming to him from the signs that God had given him to show them. He says, according to the multitude of their idols, I will answer them, that I may seize the house of Israel by their heart, because they are all estranged from me by their idols. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction. When he heard their cry, and for their sake he remembered his covenant, and relented according to the multitude of his mercies, he also made them to be pitied by all those who carried them away captive. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. You are my praise. Jeremiah 17. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:13. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. If you'd like to, you may turn to Psalm chapter 2, where we read, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath, and he shall distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, and he, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are those who put their trust in him. He's reading from Ezekiel, or Numbers 34 through 35, 1 through 8, Ezekiel 45, and Colossians 1:13. Now I'm going to continue with the point of all of this. And Yeshua said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. And Paul says to the Ephesians, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were of nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together in the heavenly places in Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in the kindness toward us in Messiah Yeshua. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The stone of witness before Joshua and the children of Israel was and is that living stone, the stone that was rejected indeed by men and was set up forever as the foundation of our inheritance. He is the witness that if we do not declare his glory, even the rocks will cry out. If we cease to declare his deeds, even the very rocks would cry out in our place. He has made for us a house not built with hands, eternal in the heavens. And Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Paul says in Romans 1, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Second Timothy 4:8. Paul says, as he is being poured out as a drink offering, as he is about to pass from this tent to dwell in an everlasting inheritance, he says, finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all who loved his appearing. I think I forget often, do I love his appearing? Had I loved his appearing, I, like Paul, would be poured out as a drink offering before the Lord, before my brethren, to bear in my body the marks of the Lord himself. and to fill up what was lacking in Yeshua to those he preached to who Paul preached to. What could be lacking in the message of the gospel from Paul to the disciples that he preached to? Could there be anything lacking in the gospel that he preached? There's only one thing. It's the marks of the Lord himself that I'm too afraid to bear before men. This gospel that we preach is not for the faint of heart. It is power from God. It is wisdom from God. It is life from the dead. Ezekiel, he sat by that river for 7 days. For 7 days. Can you imagine sitting, awestruck, captivated, broken, realizing you've seen God in his glory, and he called you to go and speak to a stubborn and insubordinate people who, even though you preach, thus says the Lord God, they will not listen to you. Even as Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, who wasn't even allowed to marry in his own land, wept and wept for his inheritance to be given to his people. As Ezekiel is by the river Kabar, for 7 days the Lord speaks to him. It came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man. Oh, thank you. I actually brought my own. I did. Because as I read this earlier this week and this morning, I was broken. Because I don't speak to you. I speak to myself. No, it's not okay. But you're right. It is okay. Because God in his mercy calls us back to himself. May he return my heart to him. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say, sorry, it's getting hard to read. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked man from his wicked way, to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. Yet, if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But you have delivered your soul. That's why Paul says in Acts 20, when he speaks to the Ephesians, one of his last journeys. He says, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. Can you imagine? The apostle himself, who sent many to death of our brethren, he said, I am innocent of the blood of all men. This is the power of salvation. He was innocent. The power of salvation is this, that God sent his son, his own son. I think of that with my children at times. I thought of that when I read in Judges, where Jephthah made a covenant before God that if you give me this victory, whoever comes out of my house first will be offered as a burnt offering. We can justify it and say, well, he gave his daughter to the temple to serve the Lord. I don't know. It's not conclusive what happened, except this. He said, you have brought me low this day. You've brought me low to his daughter, who went to mourn with her friends in the mountains. And she knew no man. Do we walk before men, not regarding men according to the flesh? For we knew Yeshua according to the flesh, I have not. But as the apostles knew him according to the flesh, yet they knew him thus no longer. They did not fear man, because the fear of man brings a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. As Ezekiel was on the river, and God speaks this to him, and he says, you will deliver your own soul by not concealing your lips. I'm convicted. Even this week, before I came, actually on Friday, no, Thursday night, as I was coming back from a job, going to another one to give an estimate, I came to the door and I began to pray, Lord, oh Lord, Holy Spirit, God, open this. Let the opening of the gospel go into this home. Because people, I've said this actually to people, to another person earlier in the week. I said, this isn't my job, actually. I'm not a remodeler. I'm actually a preacher of the gospel. I do this because I have to provide for my family. But I preach the gospel. That's who I am. Because that is who he made me. He made you. He made us all. We're little Yeshuas. But I walked into the house, and I began to talk to the man. He spoke a lot of vulgarities and different things like that. And he was probably trying to gauge who I was and where I was at. And we continued to speak. But when we went back, we went outside to look at some of the things he wanted me to work on. I preached the gospel. This man was backslidden. He turned in his life. He was broken. In fact, as I was speaking to him, he was drunk. As I'm speaking to this man, he said, I remember when the Holy Spirit would meet with me alone at the factory, when I worked at a factory, and all of a sudden he would just come. And as we continued to speak, he said, am I like that man? In Hebrews 6, who's tasted of those glories and has departed, said, if there is in any part of you the conviction of sin and of his righteousness and his judgment, then there is hope. I said, go to God. Go to him. Go alone. I said, get in your truck and drive until God speaks to you. He said, I would go right now, but I'm drunk. I said, you'll go. You will go. If the Lord is working in your heart, you will. See, the gospel is power from on high. The gospel is not, you all know this, I'm only speaking to myself at this time, but the gospel is the power of God. This is what we live for. His way. Not for us. We're nothing. But he has made us heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. We're no longer slaves, but sons. But even a son when he's a child. He's not given the inheritance until he's of full age. May we give God glory by how we speak, by how we live before men, that we would be crucified. Crucified. The man who was crucified, he lost all of his rights. He had no way to take care of himself, to tend to himself, to help or administer anything to anyone else. He was now at the mercy of his executioner. And when he was, he became nothing but refuse on a pole. In the matter of hours or days, he became food for the vultures and blood for the dogs. Are we like bread to the needy? Are we drink to the thirsty? I want to read to you this last part. This is actually from Numbers, part of my text, of the text in Numbers 34. God gave the inheritance to his children, and he divided it by 12 men. And I'll name those 12, and then I'm going to give you those names and a summary of how God blessed his people with these men, of who he blesses us daily with leaders that look out for our souls. Eliezer, God is helper where he surrounds. Yeshua, you know that open wide, free. This is a message of salvation, freedom, rescue, salvation. Get the victory. Kalev, technically dog, but in Hebrew thinking, heart. Shemuel, heard of God. Elidad, God of his love. Buki, this is interesting, wasteful. Depopulate, spread out. Haniel, favor of God. Kemuel, raised of God. Elizaphan, God of treasure. Paltiel, deliverance of God. Ahihud, brother of renown. And Pedahel, God has ransomed. And I'm going to summarize their names so you know how God spoke to divide the land before his inheritance. God has helped and surrounded his people with salvation and received the victory with all of his heart. God has heard them and is their love. He has made void and emptied the land and has given his people favor and set them up. He has given his beloved treasure and brought forth their deliverance. God is the possessor of renown and has ransomed Israel. Let us pray. I love you, Lord. But I am ashamed. You've shown me great and marvelous things, of which I am ashamed of my own sin. Of concealing my hand when it was to be given in love. I thank you for your word, which is exalted above all your name. Be glorified, O Lord, above all the heavens and all the earth. You who dwell in the high and holy place with him who is of a humble and contrite spirit. Answer us today. Bless us indeed. And prosper the work of our hands. Yes, prosper the work of our hands. In Yeshua's name. Amen.